Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study the Word of God, Rightly Divided. And this week we're going to actually start a new series of studies where over the next couple of episodes, we're going to be taking a look at the Sermon on the Mount and looking at, you know, the fact of, does this actually apply to a member of the body of Christ today? Because unfortunately, what has happened in the church today is that individuals have taken this doctrine that comes from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and really have tried to apply this to the life of the individual today, taking it out of its actual context and trying to make it seem like this is the instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ would actually have for an individual today. Now, one of the reasons why this actually occurs is because, you know, the modern Bibles that are on the market, they all have the issue of the red letter editions, which is the issue of putting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in red letters to try to give them some form of more importance in the Bible over the fact that all of it is actually the Word of God, and the fact that according to Psalm 138 verse 2, that the Word is magnified above even the name of God, and that there's an importance of all of the Word of God, not just putting some of it above the other pieces, especially when somebody's failing to rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, when we look at the aspects of what's going on back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that the Apostle Paul actually makes a reference to something. So let's start our study today over in Romans chapter number 15, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to actually draw a contrast in a couple verses between what the Lord Jesus Christ was actually doing during his earthly ministry and what we see the Apostle Paul doing during his ministry. So when we look over here in Romans chapter number 15, I want to start here verse number 8, which says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So here the Apostle Paul is declaring the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was a minister. He gives exactly who it was that he was ministering to, and he was ministering to the group known as the circumcision. And a particular purpose of why he was doing that, which was to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So there was some information that had been given to the fathers. Now, when we see the fathers being used as a term, we know that it's speaking of the nation of Israel, that same term that the circumcision is making a reference to as well. So the Apostle Paul is very much declaring that during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was here ministering to the nation of Israel, and he was confirming all the promises, all the things that were laid out in the prophetic program was being dealt with during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, in contrast to this, I want to look over here in Romans chapter 15. We're going to read verse 16 now to look at what it is that the Apostle Paul says about his ministry here. And it says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Now, in verse 8, we saw how Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. So he was ministering some things that were dealt specifically with the nation of Israel, which is a contrast to this issue of what the Apostle Paul says about himself that he's the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Now, the Apostle Paul is making a specific reference to the gospel that's been given to him, that he references three times in his epistles as calling it my gospel, that this is the information that he was ministering here. And I want to actually read that gospel passage here over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're going to read here the first four verses of the chapter, which say, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, we see here in those four verses the only gospel that could actually save an individual today. The gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul to declare to the Gentile nations, this is what actually gives salvation. And it's in direct contrast to all of the information that we see the Lord Jesus Christ actually speaking of during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he was confirming all of the promises that had been made unto the fathers. Now, before we actually get into some of the things that are actually written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I want to look at one more passage in Paul's epistles, because individuals will make the statement of that the Apostle Paul was actually only giving things that were of his opinion, and nothing that he was actually writing was actually considered to be the Word of God. Now, if we go over to Galatians chapter number 1, we actually see what it is that the Apostle Paul says about the information that was given to him. And we're going to read here, starting in verse 11 of Galatians chapter number 1, which says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we have the Apostle Paul actually giving the information of where it is that he received the doctrine that he's been teaching, where it is that he received this gospel message that he has been proclaiming, and that he received it by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not receive it of man. He wasn't taught any of this information other than to actually receive this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at what was going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get the idea of this ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had with the nation of Israel. Because we see the issue of, you know, for example, if we go over to John chapter number 1, and we look at his ministry here, in John chapter number 1, you know, the first three verses declare who he is. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, as we see this, who this is speaking of, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we skip down here to verse number 11. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The issue is that he came for the nation of Israel, and they rejected who he was. They rejected the fact that he was the Messiah, the one that had come to fulfill all the prophecies, the one that everything had been pointing to. they reject this information, and they reject it because they have a viewpoint on what they think the ministry of the Messiah should actually be. And instead of looking at it from the perspective of what the Word of God says, they were holding to the things of man. And that's why even when we see as the Gospel of John actually continues, you see how the Lord Jesus Christ makes some reference to things about the position that the nation of Israel had. Let's go over to chapter number 4 in the book of John. And we're going to start here in John chapter number 4, reading in verse number 21. It says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The salvation that was being offered at the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could only be made in a reference to the nation of Israel. That's why when you go back into chapter number 3 and it starts talking about that issue of being born again, it's not talking about the individual there. It's talking about, let's read that verse as well over here in John chapter number 3. And we're going to actually, to get the context of the whole discussion, let's start here at verse number 1. It says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now we'll stop there for a moment because we see what the whole focus of this discussion is actually revolved around. And it's revolved around the issue of the kingdom of God, that literal physical kingdom here on planet Earth. That kingdom that's in direct contrast to the promises that are made to us, the members of the body of Christ. How, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where the Apostle Paul identifies the fact that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The things of this world are not promised to us. We're promised all the spiritual blessings. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter number 3 talking about an individual seeing the kingdom of God, seeing that literal physical kingdom here on planet Earth, that kingdom that had been promised and was part of the ministry. In fact, I'm going to hold my hand here in John because we're going to come back here, but I want to read here out of the book of Mark for a moment just to show how this kingdom was the focus of his ministry here. And in Mark chapter number 1, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, where it says, Now after that John was put in prison, now let's talk about John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now the gospel message that's being talked about is the fact that he is the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied to come. That's the message that they had to believe, that he was the Son of God and that the kingdom was at hand. And that's why the focus of this discussion here in John chapter number 3 is actually about this kingdom being established here on earth and the fact that somebody had to be born again. Now Nicodemus actually starts to question this here in John chapter number 3. And we're going to pick up here verse number 4, which says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, we see here as it's talking about this issue of somebody being entering into the kingdom. In verse 5, we see another tie-in with the fact that this can only be speaking about the nation of Israel, because it's identifying that way that individuals became that kingdom of priests in that holy nation by the fact that a person was born of water and of the Spirit. And if you go over into Exodus chapter 29 and you read verses 4 through 7, you see how an individual, in order to be a priest, had to go through a ceremonial washing, and then they had to have an anointing. And once those two things occurred, they would actually be a priest in the eyes of God. Now, in order for Israel to function truly as that kingdom of priests and holy nation, they had to go through the same thing. They had to experience a washing and an anointing. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is actually making a reference to here when he's talking about how a man be born of water and of the Spirit, and how this is the only way someone's going to be enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, we get the whole key to show that this is actually speaking about the nation of Israel. And I'm going to read verse 7 again, when it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee," that word "thee" is a singular word, so that can only be talking specifically to Nicodemus and saying, you know, for Nicodemus not to marvel. And then it continues, "ye," which is a plural word, "must be born again," speaking of the nation of Israel being born again. Now, this is one of those things that, you know, the modern translations really confuse this whole situation when they take the words "thee" and "ye" and turn it into "you," because then the verse just reads, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And I lose the context of it being a singular discussion and a plural discussion in the two pieces of that verse, because I can then make it sound like, well, he's just speaking unto Nicodemus and telling him he has to be born again, and then every believer has to be born again in order to be pleasing unto God. And that's where individuals really try to take this today and turn it into something that creates more confusion for individuals rather than truly just looking at it from the aspect of he's speaking specifically about the nation of Israel and making a promise about what they have to do in order to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom is continuously in the focus of this believing remnant, because this is the promise that has been given to them. And so they have to be looking at it from the aspect of, how is it that they're going to be able to enter into that kingdom? How is it that they're going to be able to function properly in that position that has been promised to them as being part of that kingdom of priests and holy nation and receiving the promise that had been given unto them? And that's really what you see as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are actually going through, and the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them information. He's giving them all the information that they actually need in order to not only get to the kingdom, but how it is that they're going to be able to function in that kingdom. Now, I want to read here just to kind of re-show how the focus of who he was truly the gospel message that was being proclaimed in the Gospels. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 16. And we're going to start here in Matthew chapter number 16 at verse 13, which says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So this discussion gets into who is it that, you know, all the people are saying that he is, and, you know, there's all these different answers that these people are coming up with. And then he continues on and says in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, get that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and that rock being the declaration of the fact that he was the Messiah that Peter had just proclaimed, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then we get this interesting discussion here of, in verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And you see this change in the focus of what's going on, of where in the first part of his ministry, he's proclaiming the who he is, proclaiming the fact that the kingdom is at hand. And now he's telling them, okay, you're not to go out there and tell them that I'm the Messiah who had been promised anymore. And then he starts to teach them about the things of his death, burial, and resurrection, and how, you know, what it was that was going to be accomplished related to this. This is the information that he starts to proclaim to them, and they struggle with this change in this doctrinal message that's going on. But we get the very clear idea of this offer of the kingdom that's being made. I want to go over to Matthew chapter number 24 just to continue to show how, you know, the disciples really had the idea of this kingdom being the focus of his ministry. And we're going to read the first three verses of Matthew chapter number 24. And it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they're getting that idea of, you know, there's some things that are going to come. You know, give us this information so we know what these signs are actually going to be. And you see over the course of Matthew chapter number 24 that he is giving them this doctrinal information that they need to understand what all the signs that were actually going to be prior to the establishment of the kingdom actually here upon planet Earth, because you actually see how he starts concluding this, and we'll skip down here in Matthew chapter 24 to verse 30, which is the end of these signs here, and it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And that's speaking of the gathering together of that believing remnant, that way they can be ushered into the kingdom that's been promised. We also see how the disciples, right before he is actually ascends up into heaven, how this continues to be the focus that they have. Let's go over here now to Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to see here in this chapter, the very beginning of it is actually going to lay out him returning to heaven. And you see how the question that they have as this is going on, and we're going to read here verse starting in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we see here in this context, they're asking questions about when is the kingdom actually going to be established, and he lays out for them, you know, the information that they need, because this is what it is that they've been looking at. So when we are dealing with Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, we're going to see how all this information is truly going to be related to information about the kingdom that's going to be established. Now, next time, we're actually going to start looking at the Beatitudes, which are laid out in Matthew chapter number 5, verses 3 through 11, which is information that people really try to apply to themselves today. And we're going to see how there's no way that this would actually apply to a member of the body of Christ today. Now, as we close out here, I want to remind everyone, you know, of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have, you know, links to our video messages. We have audio files of the messages of what we preach on Sunday morning. We have information about how you can join our Bible study as well. We'd love to have you do so. And if you happen to be in the Buffalo area on August 14th, we will actually be having our church picnic on that date as well. And hopefully within the next week, we'll have some more information about the picnic put up on our website as well. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.